Hey, this is J.R. McNair here, Velocity Radio. I am so excited to be here, you all. This is our second show of, maybe third, fourth show of the new year, right? And we've been in here, but I'm really excited today because I have two entrepreneurs that are doing some amazing stuff here locally in Atlanta, but they're on kind of two ends of the spectrum, but they're both doing some great things servicing people. First off, I want to say hello to Miss LaToya. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, most definitely. And my man, Kalu.
Hello.
Yes. Listen, we're going to start with you, Toya. Tell us about, listen, I'm going to tell you how I met Toya. We were at an event, and it was a lot of different people there. You know, so I'm a food guy. So I used to have two restaurants and a corporate catering company. So, you know, I know food. So when I go into certain places and I find people that are there, and I find that they have good stuff, you know, that really stands out to me. So she, at that point in time, she was doing some kind of vegan desserts. Mm-hmm. And so I tried it, and, you know, nothing against people that eat vegan food traditionally. You know, I'm not a vegan, but sometimes it don't really taste that great. It tastes kind of like flavored cardboard, you know. I'm just saying, right? So, but hers was really good, really delicious and moist. And, you know, like I was saying, she got some desserts over there tempting us with us. I was looking at it, but I said, you know what, I'm going to hold off. but she has some really good stuff. Tell everybody about your company, how you got started, and, you know, what are some of the main things that you offer as a chef?
Well, I got started probably about almost 6 years ago in Michigan. I first started, where I decided that I didn't want to work for anybody anymore.
Okay.
So I've been in the kitchen since I was 14, which is almost 25 years.
Oh, wow.
So I started off as a little grill cook at a sub shop, and then it went on to work at Wolfgang Puck in the dessert department. So, okay. I learned a lot doing that, and I learned to love it. So after that, it was like, I got to get this going, but I had to learn all of the ins and outs on how to get going.
Okay.
So I started doing the custom cakes for people, and it was working out.
Yeah.
But the economy in Michigan wasn't really what I was looking for.
Okay.
So I came here about 3 years ago, and I love it here.
Yeah, right.
Well, I just want to say welcome.
I do. Thank you.
Talking to a fellow Michigander.
Oh, really?
Yep, Detroit.
Oh, wow. No, I'm not. I'm not going to say like it's just a lot different, but I'm from Inkster, which is
I used to go to school out there.
Really?
I did.
Yeah. That's real cool. So you know.
Exactly.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. Why? Yeah. It's the change is just great. So then I came here and I actually got paid training.
Wow.
From a cupcake shop.
Okay.
Who I learned everything. The owners left and said, "Here you go. You got it."
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Oh, okay. I guess I got it.
Yeah, right.
So I learned the distribution, the profit and loss, scheduling, payroll. Like, I learned everything. So God had been telling me to leave, but you know how you feel secure with that check coming in.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So I didn't until they closed. And it was like, okay, do I find another job? Nah, I'm just gonna tough it out. Mm. So this year that just passed was my first year with no W-2.
Okay, that's great.
So everything has been coming into place, really. So now I've been doing wholesale to different restaurants.
Okay.
So that is something that I offer too. I offer wholesale desserts where you can get cakes and you can get them sliced, or you can do it yourself. But it's a nice thing to have because some restaurants don't want to make their own desserts.
Okay.
So you can order them from me.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I tasted all kind of stuff that you've had. You know, you had vegan stuff, and mm-hmm. then you do regular desserts that are, you know, traditional desserts, I would say. What is your main thing? Like, what is your, if you could say, is it totally desserts? Is it, do you stay strictly in the dessert lane? Or
yes.
Okay.
So, I have so many different concepts with these desserts. It just doesn't end.
Okay.
So, right now, I'm trying to put a finger on exactly which concept. So now I just provide desserts, okay. but I do all desserts.
Okay.
Even your infused things, you know, I've learned the ins and outs of desserts. So that is what I'm mastering.
That's awesome. So tell me this, like, what does success look like ultimately for you and your brand? What does that look like? Is it a dessert shop? Is it just getting, doing more wholesale? Is it, actually, you know, having it to where you're just distributing some of your desserts, like what is the singer name with Patty Pies? Patty LaBelle. I mean, like what?
Well,
is
it's really it's there is no cap.
Okay,
there is no cap. I have three ideas off rip that I want to get going where okay. they're experiences where I want people to experience desserts.
Okay.
You know, and then desserts are good with a couple of the dessert wines where you can pair them. So I really want to create an experience for that and really brand that.
Okay.
So.
Like a wine and dessert. Okay.
Like a dessert bar.
Okay. A dessert bar. Okay. Yeah. It's one in Atlanta, I think, Intermezzo or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's on a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level. I went there and I was like, but they have food. That's not it.
Yeah, right.
No shade.
Yeah,
No shade at all. No, that's
hey. But no, that's great. You know, I was overseas. I used to play football in Europe, and we used to go to a lot of the dessert shops over there, and they were phenomenal. Had all different kinds of desserts that were there, and I always thought, I said, man, you know, don't really see too much of that here in the States, you know, mm-hmm. let alone specifically here in Atlanta. So no, that's awesome. So now that you've been in business and you're doing what you're doing, I mean, what's one of the things that you've learned since you've actually come down here in Atlanta and you've kind of been rolling and going?
This is a word of mouth place, man. But it's really, really nice because people support. Sure. And that is the biggest thing that's been going on. It just comes from nowhere. And they like, oh, girl, that's what you're doing? Okay, yeah, give me five. I'm like, for real?
Yeah, right.
You know? So I've learned to really just continue to get out there, continue to just promote your product and just promote your brand because somebody is going to support you no matter what. Just keep your confidence and keep going.
Yeah, so you're a single mother.
Yes.
Okay, so how does that work, the balance, you know, from you building your company and being a mother? How does that work?
I don't know yet.
Okay, you're still figuring it out.
I'm still building that balance because okay. sometimes it's just really crazy, but a lot of the times it's good. I have two older daughters, so they kind of help.
Okay, that's good.
You know,
can learn the business. You know, yes. a lot of people have a hard time transitioning when they want to retire, when they want to, mm-hmm. you know, unless they sell the company or something like that, you know, they don't, our kids, well, you know, your kids want to go into business. They don't know anything about your business. So,
yeah, that's one of the things that I'm really, really adamant with my children about is understanding entrepreneurship and understanding that you don't have to work for somebody else your whole entire life in order to make money. And you will probably make more if you really get out there and show your full potential.
Totally.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
So if somebody was looking at trying to get into the food service industry, what would be some advice that you would give them?
To figure out what you want to do and just do it.
Yeah, totally.
Don't think too much about it and just know that somebody is going to appreciate your product and just do your research and make sure it's good. Make sure it's good and you can kind of get it out there any kind of way.
Do you have any events like right now that you're going to be at in and around the city that people can kind of come and actually taste some of your stuff in person?
February 27th. I actually just talked to them. The Urban Atlanta is having another event And this event is going to be an actual vending event.
Okay.
So I'll be able to actually have different things for sale.
Okay.
So it's going to be really nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yes. February 27th is going to be in Atlantic Station.
Yes.
Most definitely. And so now what is next for Chef Toya and your brand? What is next for the, what is the next big thing for you?
Continuing to build. Mm-hmm. Continue to build and getting that that name on that building.
Yeah.
Getting that name up there so that people really know who you are.
Yeah. So tell people how they get in touch with you and how they find out about you.
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Sweet Taste LLC. Mm-hmm. I also have a website. It's asweettaste.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, those are the ways.
That's awesome. So my last question for you, it's actually two questions in one, okay? Okay, so the first thing is, what is the maybe the biggest learning experience or mistake maybe that you've made since you've been in business? And the second thing is, what has been your biggest triumph? What's been the biggest thing that you can say, hey, man, this is the biggest win that I've had so far?
I think the answer is the same for both.
Okay.
It's a big order that I took. Okay. And I didn't think it through.
Okay, I got you.
I didn't think it through. And I had to really, like, tweak it to do it by myself.
Sure.
So it was like 24 three-layer cakes.
Wow.
And it's like I'm doing them all by myself. So I'm like, I didn't think it was going to be this much. You're like, oh, yeah, I can get that. I got it.
Yeah, let's roll.
And then
with
I started making it, and I'm like, wait, yeah. I'm not halfway done yet.
Yeah, right.
So with that, I had to devise a system, which I think is so important with anything that you do. If you devise a good system that is rotating and it's a continuous movement, you can master it. So mastering that order helped me understand that bigger orders, I can take them, because now I know how to create that system where everything has a place and it gets done.
That is awesome. That's awesome. So listen, we're so excited for you, and I'm ready, you know, when we finish with these interviews, to get into some of that.
I kind of want you to let them know what it is.
Hey, listen, I can already tell you it's going to be good, because I already see like a strawberry on top
you
of
the moistness.
I'm just looking at it, the different colors kind of dripping through the side. And then,
so that's a strawberry. Strawberry crunch cake.
Oh, and I do see the crunch.
And it has the crunch on the outside, and there's a layer of cheesecake in the middle of two layers of strawberry cake.
She know my favorite ice cream was like that strawberry crunch.
Nothing but a word.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, for real. We used to eat that in school. You know, give me that strawberry crunch for that dollar right there, right?
Yes.
So, nah, that is phenomenal. Look, but definitely, if I didn't have to stay on the air, I would be over there, because, you know, after I eat it, I might need to just, you know, chill out for a minute. So I got to get some milk and stuff, you know, just got the whole thing hooked up. But now we appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Our next guest, Mr. Kaloo.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, man, you have a great background, and I met you at an event where you were speaking to some fashion people. And I heard your story, and I heard what you did, and I even saw a video on you doing some stuff with the financial company. I didn't realize that it even had a kind of an entrepreneurship type of division there. And it impressed me, and I knew that I needed to reach out to you to try to get you on. Hello.
Thank you.
Tell me about how you got started. And because you have a military background too, correct?
I do. Yeah.
So thank you for your service, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, most definitely.
So the story's actually kind of long. Well, yeah.
Hey, give it to us, man. You could give us the itty bitty or the long, however you choose to
okay.
do it.
Okay. How did I get into entrepreneurship? So I was at Morehouse.
Okay.
And I was a computer science major at the time, and I was going to go get my PhD in neuroscience.
Wow.
Right. And I got accepted to this program called the United Negro College Fund Innovation Summit.
Okay.
So they flew us out to California. We got to see Google, Facebook, all these different places, Stanford Design School.
Wow.
And actually, right before that, I was just a junior at Morehouse, right? And I had to take a class called senior seminar. So first of all, I'm a junior taking senior seminar, which is all God, right?
Because
I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And the teacher asked, he said, do you want to do cryptography or do you want to do entrepreneurship? I was like, entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
He was hard, right?
Yeah,
nobody was trying to do cryptography right? So I said I wanted to be a captain. So I got selected as a captain, and I selected my team. All right, so my team, they were individuals that I knew not only from a personal level, but I understood that the work that they do.
Sure.
Because the way I look at things is, if you're going to do it, go hard, right?
That's right.
Even though it's a class, like you're trying to get an A, but what if?
That's right.
And I always ask that question, what if, right? So from there, I fly out to Cali, and I'm in a conference with Google.
Okay.
Right? So they're on stage, they're asking us questions. And then they ask a very interesting question. They say, why aren't there more black people in technology?
Mm-hmm.
So I turn around. At the time, my department chair was Dr. Perry.
Okay.
And I look at him. I'm like, I'm going to answer the question. And he gives me this, you know, a look. And I'm like, all right, just bear with me. All right. So I stand up and I say, Google does not care about black people. All right.
Oh, wow.
But the reason being was because we were about to graduate.
Yeah.
Into careers of technology. Mm-hmm. And you're asking us why people around us aren't going into these careers as if we had that key. Like, you have to do heavy research on this stuff, right? You need to invest in our communities. You need to, like, actually talk to the youth. A lot of people think that it's about football and basketball and music, but it's so much more,
right?
And they don't understand that narrative because that narrative has never been presented to them, right? And what I respect about Google is when I said that, they actually listened. Right. And on the spot, they actually gave me a job offer.
Oh, wow.
And at that moment, that's when I decided, like, OK, if you're going to give me a job offer, I probably shouldn't take it. And I should see if I can invest in myself.
Yeah.
So I went back to the team and I said, hey, this idea that we've been hashing on, let's do it. And so we did. And a couple of months in, we grew the team to like 8 or 9 people. So I was very naive. I was like, yo, I have this idea. Join the team. Everybody wanted to join. They were like, yeah, I'll join.
Yeah, yeah.
But then came time to start paying people, right? So initially, first couple of months, nobody wanted to get paid. But after a while, everybody's saying, let's get paid. And I was like, okay, well, I need to go find money. So I did early Bitcoin, right?
Okay.
And I got money off of that. So that was like back in 2012 when I did Bitcoin. So,
okay.
But I didn't get into entrepreneurship until 2014. So you can imagine like what that looked like a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put all my money into my company. That ran out. Then I hear about a guy named Paul Judge.
Okay.
And he was receiving an award at Morehouse. So I was like, I need to go see that guy.
That's right.
Right. And again, this entire story is God, because I don't know if I wouldn't have made the decision to go to Crown Forum that day. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If I wouldn't have made the decision to walk to the front of Crown Forum to even say something to Paul when they were doing a Daryl Morehouse, I wouldn't be here.
That's right.
Right. So that's exactly what happened. During the end of Crown Forum, I decided to kind of slip my way to the front while everybody's singing. So everybody's looking at me a little crazy. They're like, why is he walking to the front while we're, this is, you know, Morehouse is about tradition.
Yeah,
you don't,
yeah,
you
right,
don't cut
right,
tradition,
right?
Right,
that's right. But sometimes, you know, life and, mm-hmm. and destiny has to cut tradition.
Yes. So I walked up there and I pitched, right? And Paul said, okay. Sent me an email. So I did, and didn't hear from him for a couple of days. I launched my company in my backyard, right? And then I was supposed to hop on a flight to DC. So when I'm walking onto the plane, I get an email from Paul saying, hey, I'm receiving my award at Candle in the Dark. Do you want to be my guest? So I was like, yeah. I left my bags. My bags were underneath the plane already. So I left all that stuff and I hopped on a cab and I was gone, right? So I was like, I'll get my stuff later. Because this felt like an opportunity that I could not miss. This is Paul Judge.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And so I did that, got the candle. It was a beautiful ceremony, met his family, met his fiance, Tanya. And the whole experience was just all love, right?
Okay.
And, you know, they usually say, like, when you meet an advisor or an investor, you need to make sure that it's more than just money.
Mm-hmm.
And with Paul, like, that's what it felt like. This is more than money. This is, like, mentorship. This is
relationship.
Relationship, right? Mm-hmm. This is life advice. This is so much more, right?
Totally.
And we were able to meet. He said, hey, you can keep doing your thing. I love it. Or we can run something together. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's do that. Yeah, right. I got the money. So, you know, and
let's figure it out.
Let's figure it out. And another thing a lot of people don't know about me is I had kids when I was young as well.
Okay. Right?
So I have twin girls.
Oh, wow. I have twin boys. Look.
Twin girl.
Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we out here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Twins in the house.
Twins in the house. So I had them when I was 21, right?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, right? I didn't know where life was going to take me. I didn't know anything. But I understood that the way life was shaping up, like, this was all God, so just keep moving.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So I agreed. And my senior year, running a company, trying to take 22 credit hours, riding my bike to Midtown, that was my entire existence at Morehouse my senior year.
Wow.
Then got accepted to Y Combinator. And then,
oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So right after I graduated, flew out to Cali, did that for like 8 months, came back to Atlanta, grew the company a bit.
Were you there with a co-founder when you went to Y Combinator? Yeah.
So our team was actually pretty big at the time, right? So it included like the guys from Upscale Hype.
Okay.
They've gone off and done like great things. They're still doing great things right now. And also included like a couple of co-founders like Scooter Taylor, Cade Killery, some of those types of guys, right? And it was an amazing experience. Probably the hardest I've ever worked. And I went to the Naval Academy, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
But this was the hardest I ever worked in my life. And I took that experience, brought it back to Atlanta, and started growing the business. And now we're here, right? Actually, last year, got accepted to Morgan Stanley, as you were saying.
Yeah.
Spent a year in New York, so you can only imagine what that looked like.
Yeah.
It feels like New York right now outside.
No, totally, man. You know? And we in the A, freezing
this
right
is,
now.
This is a problem. We got to fix this.
Exactly, you know? Right?
But, yeah, just lived in New York for a year, and now back here. And Atlanta's home, so, yeah.
Man, that's awesome, man. That's an amazing story. So how are you able to balance like doing what you were doing with twins,
mm-hmm.
and school and everything else that you were doing, man? I mean, how are you able to make those things happen?
I don't know. I think personally, it doesn't feel like there's even such thing as a work-life balance.
I agree.
You know, like you just do what you got to do.
That's right.
You know, and when you're tired, you keep going.
Yeah.
Right. If you know that you got to wake up at 3 and start your day before the rest of the world, do that. And that's right. Actually one of the things that helped me my senior year. So every single morning I wake up at 3 a.m.
Wow.
So that gave me a 5-hour head start because everybody else woke up at 8.
8, yeah.
So when I got to physics in the morning,
what time did you go to sleep at night then?
10?
Maybe. 10? Okay. 10.
Like so. I try to get a little religious with it. Sometimes it'll be 11, 12, depending.
Okay. Okay.
But I try to say, okay, I at least need to be in bed by 10.
Yeah.
Right? So By being in bed by 10, one, I'm not out partying. I'm not out doing all the extraness. I'm just, like, focused on my sleep, focused on my studies. I get 5 hours to catch up on anything I might have missed the night before.
Yeah.
And then I can work on the company a bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Go to class. By the time, probably, like, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, hop on my bike, and I'll ride my bike all the way to Midtown, and I'll be there until, like, 9, and then I need an hour to ride back so I can get to bed by 10.
Wow, man, you got your exercise in. That was a good thing, you know. But what you said about just getting up
mm-hmm.
early—that is a secret that people don't realize.
Yeah,
I've seen studies that people that get up before 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're so much more successful than people that don't get up that early. I mean, you'd think that it was something that just really wouldn't matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it almost matters just as much. In certain cases, I read a study today where they were saying that personality was a better indicator of success than even IQ.
Yeah.
Okay. And
definitely.
But I could even say that I would agree that waking up early is probably even a better indicator of success than IQ.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as whatever you're doing in that time period is focused.
Okay.
Right. I think a lot of people, they lack focus because they don't necessarily know the direction that they want to move in. And once you understand your direction and, like she was saying, implementing your processes, then you should be successful in a sense, right? Like success isn't It's not like I know I'm going to be successful because I have these processes in place. Mm-hmm. But you know within your heart of hearts that you've done everything you can in order to like get to your North Star. And if you get there, cool. If you don't, then it's like I've learned so much along the process.
That's right.
To go do it again.
That's right. No, totally. Listen, the other thing, so we haven't even really got to talk about your company. But that was good, though. I mean, that was great, man. I love hearing people's stories, mm-hmm. how they come about doing what they've done. You have an amazing story, man. I think you're going to do well because, number one, your story will, in your life and your experience will make room for you. I believe if people see we have to share our stories.
Yes.
And a lot of times, you know, we don't say anything, so nobody even knows, you know. Like, I didn't know until you said it, really, your story. I think that kind of, it gives a different level of girth, I would say, to what somebody's doing. Yeah. So tell me about your company and about what you're currently focusing on, mm-hmm. and where it's at right now.
Yeah, definitely. So again, I'm the CEO and founder of Look Live. So what Look Live does, it helps influencers monetize their influence.
Okay.
Right. And the product that we have is called IMX. So what we did with IMX is we took technology and we took culture, we merged those two. And we provide influencers with the platform to monetize their audience. So we know that influencers have a hard time connecting with their audience, like solely on Instagram, right?
That's right.
And their audience, they want more from their influencer. They want quality content, right?
Quality,
and they're looking
for,
you know, they're looking for a scalable way to even engage with that influencer. But when you look at social, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it feels like a gate, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, your influencers all the way up here. You can look up, but you can't really touch them.
That's correct.
Right. So
that's
true. With IMX, we said, hey, why not give these influencers their very own Netflix, their very own Amazon, whatever they want to call it, right? But package all that stuff together, right, and give them a proven digital marketing strategy to get their influencers over from these dedicated platforms like the Instagrams and the Twitters over to their own platform. So one thing that we always tell influencers is don't stop posting on Instagram. Don't stop posting on Twitter. So that, because it's not a knock to those companies. Those companies are amazing companies.
That's right.
Because they've done what they do very, very well.
That's right.
But with IMX, we're saying, hey, how can we personalize this experience for you and get you paid at the same time?
Yeah.
And it only takes a little bit of people to make a lot of money with the IMX. And that's the beauty. That's the, I guess, like the beauty of it. Yeah.
Yeah, man, listen, I love that because I'm always trying to figure out ways for people that are artists, creators, mm-hmm. whoever they are, to be able to do this where it's sustainable.
Yeah.
I mean, I've dealt with so many different entertainers, musicians, all over the years. And they focus so much on the show that they forget about the business.
The business, yeah.
It's show business.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The entertainment business. And these are things that are so important. But, back in the day when you're talking about musicians, there uh-huh. used to be labels to where you would go and you would have a business manager, a road manager.
Artist development. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's like, oh, you got a manager. Oh, you what's your following like? But none of that other stuff is talked about. It's not, yeah. I mean, but you need those people. Yeah.
So funny story. And this is going back again. I was really heavy into music and I wanted to actually be a musician, all that. My parents are Nigerian, so they're okay. Like, no. Right. They're like, we're not trying to hear that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So I go to the Naval Academy.
But isn't Akon from Nigeria?
Where is he's from Senegal.
Senegal. Yeah. Well, he's still. I was.
He's crushing it, all right.
Man, he is killing it, man. I'm gonna tell you, I was in Germany, uh-huh. and we didn't. We only had a couple. When I was playing football, Lord, we only had a couple stations, and I saw this guy jumping around and stuff, and singing because it's only a couple of stations. And then I was like, man, so we just would see him all the time.
Uh-huh.
Then when I got back to the States, I started seeing him on the TV. I was like, hold up. And they was like, that's Akon. I was like, okay, well, he got his start overseas. Yeah. But no, I'm saying, look, if you got good music, man, people find you.
Oh, they're going to find you. Yeah. So I was blessed enough to sing backup for Beyonce at the inauguration for President Obama.
Wow.
Right? So that's when I told my parents, like, I'm going to do music.
Yeah.
And I'm doing music now. I leave the Naval Academy. I'm doing music. Got picked up. I was able to sing to Jamie Foxx. It was on YouTube or whatnot. He thought I was dope. So I was like, oh, I'm a musician now. I'm out.
Yeah, right.
And I was just solely focused on the music, not the business. And now I'm here. Right? You feel me? So
yeah.
Like to your point, it's like if you don't know the business, then what do you do?
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I got a record deal when I was 11 too.
See,
and my they wanted us to quit school and start singing full time. My parents was like, not gonna happen.
Not today.
You know? Not right. Today. Not this house. Right. And so, but no, man, that's amazing. So, why is it so important that that these influencers get paid?
I mean, it's a livelihood. You create this content. You put it on Instagram, you might get paid like a couple $1,000s from a brand, but that's like a brand saying like, this is how much you're worth, right? And that's not true. You made these brands millions of dollars and you only get coins. It doesn't make sense. Like in any traditional business deal, if you literally sat down and said, okay, so how much are you going to get? A million? Are you going to give me $1,000?
Yeah.
You wouldn't say yes to that,
that
right?
Don't work, right?
It doesn't work. Nah. But because we've created this gate, right? And, well, social media has created these gates. Brands can do that.
That's
and
right.
It's not fair, right? And we're just like, yo, like, how do we kind of, like, bring those walls down and get you the revenue that you deserve? And the good thing is we were able to prove that, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So where can people find out about your company online?
Yeah. So if you go to Instagram, it's Look Live App. Facebook, same, Look Live. And yeah, so we're online, just type in Look Live. We're everywhere. You'll see us. So
I'm gonna ask you a big question.
Tell me.
5 years from now, if I was to meet you in an airport, right? And I'm rolling through and I'm like, Kalu, hey, man, what's up? I ain't seen you in like 5 years, man. Like, where's, you know, how are things now? Tell me, like, I want to know, like, what does it look like 5 years from now? Tell me what you would say.
5 years, okay. We've onboarded a good amount of customers onto our platform, right? And again, this is a white label solution, and I just have to touch on the technology real quick.
Go for it.
So we give you your very own landing page, website, iOS app, Android app, and all the OTT, so Apple TV, Roku, Fire TV, and a digital marketing strategy to help you make money all at the push of a button. So something that would take you six months to a year to create for like $500K, we give it to you at only $100 a month.
Oh wow.
Right. So
that's amazing.
That's just to touch on the technology there. But in 5 years, I think the funnel is gonna be full, right? Not just that, I believe that elements of looklive.com might be sprinkled in a bit.
Okay.
But more so, we're still gonna be focused on the customer. I think that's what's most important. Let's make sure that we give you the tools that you need. Let's make sure that we make your consumers comfortable as well as make them comfortable as well. So we'll still be hacking away. Like this is a, you know, it's a marathon, right?
That's right.
Nipsey said it, like it's a marathon, and we're in for the long haul. So
yeah, man. Listen, so speaking on the customer, being all about the customer. A customer, what does your ideal customer look like? And how, I mean, you know, influencers come in all shapes and fashions, sizes, and you know, and sometimes their audiences may not be large, but they have large influence. But who is your?
Yeah. So our sweet spot are those influencers from 100K to around 10 million.
Okay.
Right? But that doesn't mean anybody below 100K can't have like an IMX platform. You can.
Yeah.
Right. Because it all boils down to engagement. You can have 10 million followers, but if they're not engaging,
that's so true.
It doesn't matter. Like the guy with 1,000 engaged followers can make way more money than the guy with like 1 million unengaged followers.
That's
right?
Correct.
So for us, that sweet spot is between 100K to 10 million of engaged followers for influencers.
Okay.
But we still look below that, and we always try to find like the gems because we don't want to leave anybody behind.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. We already talked about some potential people that may be a good fit.
Yeah.
And my last question for you is this: now that you've did all the things that you've done in this space, I know we have a lot of listeners too who are saying, "Hey, you know, I want to be a technology entrepreneur."
Yeah.
Here in Atlanta, I want to go about trying to be the next big thing. What kind of strategy would you give them? What kind of advice would you give them, knowing what you know now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say do the work, right? Don't focus on the optics.
Okay.
Right? Don't worry about being the next big thing.
That's right.
Because if you do the work, all that stuff will come.
That's right.
Don't allow ego to, like, get in between that. But from a more, I guess, like, direct way of thinking, like, do your homework, right? So you have your business model canvas. Break your idea down. Make sure it fits the market, right? Make sure you network. Make sure you talk to the people that have done it before. Don't be afraid to network. But make sure when you do network, you've done a little bit of work and you have a good ask, right? And if you've done all that stuff, you still can't seem to wrap your head around it, shoot me an email. I'm kalu@looklive.com. And I'll be able to hopefully point you in the right direction. Because, again, like, if I wouldn't have had the people in my life to direct my path, then I wouldn't be here. And I always pay respect to that. So.
And that's paying it forward, man. That's what I'm talking about, right?
Got to.
Hey, man, this is amazing. Both of you all were some amazing guests. I'm going to tell you, we had one of the best small business caterers and chefs that's doing some amazing things in the dessert area. And then we had one of the bright young startup entrepreneurs here that's doing some amazing things in culture and influence. So listen, if you all are not inspired to go out here and do something, then you might not have a pulse. So, you know, I can't help you there. So keep listening. We appreciate all of you all and what you do. And D, take us on out. This is J.R. McNair with Velocity Radio.